Welcome to episode 35 of the Mile 62 podcast. I'm your host, Richard Elkins, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Very cold week this week. Been running and biking, pretty much alternating. But boy, I can put on my winter running clothes, but even when you dress up a little bit for the bike, it's cold. I did 10 miles this morning, and it was 33 degrees, and felt pretty warm, but my face wasn't well protected, and I have my cycling shoes. I know they have cycling shoes, warmers. I use clipless pedals, but, you know, the cycling shoes are made so that your feet don't perspire, and that works against you in the winter, so my toes got really cold, so I actually cut it short this morning. I was going to do 20 miles, but my feet really were frozen. The rest of my body, I felt pretty good. Even my face didn't feel too bad after riding a little bit. The sun was out, but it was still 33 degrees. But it's that time of year, so we have to adjust. I don't believe in, I don't like riding the bike inside or running inside on treadmill. The only time I do that is when I'm traveling, and due to COVID-19, I haven't traveled much this year at all, except to California. In my job, I usually travel often to Asia, mainly China, and when I stay in the hotels, I'm there usually for a week or two. I do run outside, but I often bike inside, and sometimes I'll get on the treadmill if I'm up at an odd time of the night because of the time difference. But I haven't done that in a while. But everything's going well. I've been beefing up my gym, got new equipment, so moved some of my equipment out of the house into the garage. My wife's happy about that. And I just needed more room. And I was also worried that I was going to damage my floor in my house. So I moved it out to the garage, and I got a new sit-up bench, which is also being used for bench press. And been making good use of my axle bar, which I got from Gopher Performance. Got two more plates, two more 45-pound plates. And just this week, ordered some more weights. What type of weights did I order? There's some dumbbells, and I got a new squat rack. But however, it's more of a power rack for squatting, and I'm going to be using it for bench press, because what I found is with my sit-up bench, I can pick up the weight with my axle bar and lay down and do bench press, but getting up and out of there after you've done a long set is pretty challenging. And nobody in my family really can help me with that. So I've gotten the squat rack, and I'm going to be using that, some of the settings to help me with the bench press. And I will also be doing some squats, but mostly deadlift. And I'm pretty excited. So I need to clear out more of my garage and move everything back. I got a new ceiling fan. So really decking out my garage, move the TV to the garage. My kids are excited about that. I thought it was so cool to have a TV in the garage. I like it because I can listen to like Joe Rogan podcasts and other people's podcasts, which are on YouTube out in the garage when I'm working out. But it's cool. I'm enjoying it. I bought a new ceiling fan. Should come in a couple of days. And like I said, my squat rack. So next couple of weekends, I'm going to be pretty busy in the garage when I have free time. Feeling good. I've been, I've been running and biking, pretty much alternating, about 75% my miles per week, or I should say my hours per week are running, 25% is biking, and I'm trying to lift weights every day. So I kind of take the Ryan Hall approach to weightlifting. I do bench press, and I do biceps, triceps almost every day. Now, I will maybe twice a week really focus on those body parts, but I kind of treat it like my running. It doesn't hurt to do it every day, and I kind of call it endurance lifting. But I feel much stronger, and I think it's helping my body release chemicals, which, you know, like testosterone and other things, which I don't produce very much anymore at my age. I'm in my 50s, and I can feel it. I mean, I'm recovering faster from my runs. I'm feeling stronger on my runs. My times are coming down even further per mile. So I see a lot of benefits in it. So running and weightlifting, or biking and weightlifting, every day. I don't take any days off. I don't take any rest days. I do take a rest day from running or biking if it's raining. I just don't like getting out in the rain. So I let Mother Nature dictate when I should take a rest day. The funny thing is, my Garmin, they've updated the Garmin software again, and my Fenix now, when I push start on my runs, it will tell me what kind of training I should do. And sometimes it's kind of funny, because I'll be standing out on the road fixing to take off of my run, and it'll tell me I need to take a rest day. Now, who's going to take a rest day after they're already dressed up and ready to run? I wouldn't do it anyways, but I think it's kind of funny. But I just kind of back out of it and start my run. But feeling good, and with the temperatures going down, I don't have to carry much hydration with me. Most of the time, I don't carry any at all, because typically my run every day is about 10K, sometimes a little bit less. And with the temperature the way it is in Central Texas right now, in the early mornings, it's in the high 30s, low 40s. I can easily do a 10K with no hydration. And some of my runs are fasted. What I mean by that is I do the intermittent fasting, so I usually do 16 hours. So my feeding period is, so that gives me 8 hours feeding period. So basically how I work it out is I want to be where I'm not hungry, too hungry during my exercise period, or after, actually for mostly the recovery times. Otherwise it just ruins the day. So what I found works best for me is my feeding period is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I typically run before I eat in the morning. The nice thing about intermittent fasting, you can pretty much eat what you want, just as long as you don't eat bad food, you know, no junk food, no fast food. I do eat some junk food, but I don't eat fast food. And now with COVID-19, I haven't been in a restaurant since June. And so works out well for me. It's helping me trying to trim down, because I think race weight is real important for ultras. I've been alternating shoes like I used to with Hoka and Ultra. That's working out with well for me. If I do what I do, like I mentioned on previous podcasts, is I use my Olympus 4s on the road after they've gained a lot of miles or get damaged. In my last race, I ripped one of my Ultra 4s, and it's not risky to run a 10K with it around here, but I wouldn't do a 100K or a 100 miler in them. I'd be worried that they might fall apart on me. I must have ripped it on a rock or something like that. But I have different uses for my shoes as I get older, and I use a lot of trail shoes on the road. I also run in the Hoka Clifton 6s and 7s that I have. I think it prevents injury, and it works well for me. Okay, I'm back after a quick break. I'd like to talk about foot health. My right foot below the ball of my ankle has been sore and bothering me for about 6 months off and on. And not sure what was causing it. I read online, and there's no tendons there. And I finally said, well, I should go visit a podiatrist and have my foot checked out by a foot doctor. I haven't done that in a while. I wanted him or her to take an x-ray and check out, make sure I don't have a stress fracture. So I went and visited a new foot doctor, podiatrist, and close to where I am, and was real impressed with him. He he's actually a serious cyclist, so he understands endurance sports and, you know, kind of where I'm coming from as an ultra runner. And he, after explaining to him what was going on with my foot, basically the first quarter mile when I go on a run, often, not every time, but sometimes it would be sore, hurting. And I thought, well, maybe I need to stretch better or this or that, or what's going on? And he wasn't sure either. And he checked my foot and had me do some different drills up and down and looked at it. And then we went and did an x-ray, and he said, nope, you don't have a stress fracture. And that kind of jives. I've never had any broken bones my whole life, and I've been in crazy sports my whole life. I was in motocross racing for many years and got into boxing in college, and just been real lucky. I haven't never had any problems with my bones, and I was real happy I didn't have a stress fracture, because that means I can keep pushing hard and working out like I like to do, because I have 100K in January and then 100 miler in February, and pretty much doing an ultra almost every month. But he explained to me that down below the ball of the ankle, there's a section of your foot that has a bunch of, like, I shouldn't say a bunch, but it has a fat and arteries and nerves. And sometimes if your foot pronates, is not very neutral and pronates a little bit the wrong direction, and if you're doing very high mileage like endurance athletes do, that area will get aggravated. And that's what he's telling me is happening with me. And he suggested that I might need orthotics, you know, put a pad in that one foot to help it pronate the other direction. But I haven't done that yet, but he put a small pad in my Olympus 4 on one side to help it pronate the other direction. And I'm not sure if it helped me much at all, but this week my foot hasn't been hurting that much, but that happens. Sometimes I go several weeks without a no issue, and then it comes back. So I'm going to try different shoes, and you know, I've got quite a few different shoes now, but I'll keep trying and find out what's best for me. And I think my legs and feet are getting stronger from alternating with bike and run. I've really done that pretty religiously the last couple months. But I learned a lot from visiting him, and he explained some stretches to me, how to, you know, stretch and basically yoga for your feet before you run. And him being a advanced cyclist, I was asking him about clipless shoes, you know, on my biking. And he was, because, you know, when you put on a shoe on your bike and you've got to put the mounting hardware on there, there's a lot of play going forward and backwards, or you can even turn side to side. So where do you set your shoe? So I set it in the middle setting, pretty much straight. I had my shoes straight on my pedals. But he said that's not the right way to do it, because he says nobody runs or walks perfectly straight. And so you don't want to set your pedals that way. So he told me that if, for example, if you duck feet and you kind of walk that way, you need to set your pedals that way. Otherwise, you could have knee pain or hip pain. So if you have knee pain or hip pain when you're cycling and use clipless pedals, then you need to turn your shoes in or out. Play with them a little bit to make, you know, feel more comfortable. And he also told me that you can stand on one foot and do your pedals, you know, round and round with one leg. And if you can do it smoothly, then they're set right. If not, if it's cumbersome, then you need to make some adjustment. And he told me that the ball of your foot, the front part of the ball of your foot, is what you want pushing on the pedal. Often people have the shoe set too far forward, so that it's almost under the mid, a little bit before the midfoot, and that's not the right place to put it. So I learned a lot about shoe positioning for my bike, but I wanted to share that with everyone. So like I said, if you have hip and knee pain, you might want to turn your shoes in or out, you know, side to side. You want to try to mimic how you walk, and there's an adjustment forward and backwards too. You want to make sure that it's a smooth pedaling, but You wanna make sure that your shoes are mounted so that it's basically how you walk or you would run. But I thought that might be helpful. The next segment of the podcast, you know, the title of this podcast is Sweeping at Mosaic Trail Run. Mosaic Trail Run was last weekend. I did the 50K last year. It's very close. It's a great course. It's about a 10K loop, and they have many different races from 10K to 50K. It's only about 3 miles from my house, so it's very convenient. It's on a ranch that's like a, it's almost like a Boy Scout ranch. So the trails can get, they're rocky in some places, but it's not like most Texas trails with a lot of rocks. So it's mostly just dirt. But it started raining, got kind of muddy, so it made it for, I know I wore my Olympuses out there and they got clogged up. But I went out there because my nephew and my sister were running the half marathon, and it was probably their longest trail run, and in nephew's case, his longest run. So I went out there and I arrived a little bit late because there was a traffic accident, but I went out there and I ran the course backwards trying to find them. I ended up finding them, but I got a little bit lost because the course is like a figure eight design. And if you think course marking sometimes can be confusing going the correct direction, you should try running them backwards. So I got a little bit lost, but I ended up finding my sister, and I had a nice conversation with her, running with her for a while, and it's you're gonna hear that next. And then after about a mile and a half, we saw my nephew, so I departed my sister and then ran with my nephew until he finished the race. So enjoy. Like I always say, have fun on your runs. If you want to send me any feedback, it's runnerrwe@gmail.com. Please follow me on Strava and Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can find me. It's just runnerrwe, so it's easy to remember. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and stay tuned. In the next few days, I'm going to release a podcast about the Texas trail running schedule, because listen to some details from Trail Racing Over Texas today, and Tejas Trails have got their schedule out. So I'm going to merge both schedules like I did last year, and put out a podcast going through all the trail racing scheduled races for 2021. Okay, like I said, I'm going to take you out on the course now. And I recorded as I was running with my sister, which is the first runner, and then my nephew. Also keep in mind that I have a medical mask on the whole time. So I ran like 4 or 5 miles, maybe 6 miles with a mask on. It was a medical mask. It wasn't a bandana. And so it made it a little bit more challenging workout, but I think it was safer because the runners were not wearing a mask. And I was trying to be safe, but kind of proves that, you know, if someone can run for many miles with a mask on, then, you know, anybody can go to the store with a mask on. Well, anyways, that's my 2 cents. Anyways, enjoy the conversation. I'm taking you live out to the trail, a Mosaic Trail Run in Liberty Hill, Texas. So how's your run going so far?
I ran some. You know, when there was straightaways, I ran. And my back hurt a little bit, and then I hit my toe.
Yeah.
The main thing is my fingers are swollen. You see them?
Yeah. They don't look swollen.
Huh?
They don't look swollen.
Still fat there?
They're okay. So how's your feet doing?
They're good except my middle toe. The same toenail I keep losing.
Oh, okay.
So I've just been trying to walk faster enough.
Have you been eating anything?
No, but I have it in my backpack.
Well, you gotta take in 300 calories an hour.
Okay, well, let's try to catch training
for. Well, try to jog a little bit. I'll go with you.
I was jogging and then the you know, there's a lot of horse poop or whatever, cow poop. Disgusting.
Okay. You been drinking? What are you drinking? Only water?
Yep.
You're gonna take in some salt.
Well, I have my little skin chip. Maybe that's why I'm swelling. Yeah, that's what you told me last time.
Yeah, you have to take in salt. If you don't drink Gatorade, you need to take a salt tablet or something. Also, some of the gels and stuff have sodium in them.
I don't need salt tablet.
Well, you don't need that. You just eat something with salt in it. But it takes about 20 minutes, 30 minutes to get in your system.
But I should have thought about it because the water is so heavy, it slows me down.
The water?
Yeah, filled the whole thing up.
Oh, why don't you do that?
I was worried.
I just need one bottle, what do you mean?
Because
it's cool. So, how's your training been going?
Pretty good.
So, how many miles per week are you doing now?
Well, I would say the most on average is 4 miles a day.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So, what are
but
you?
That's not all running.
You're wearing your Hoka Speed Goat?
Yeah, I just bought Challengers. They're not in.
No. Oh.
See. My water's really heavy, but...
So you going to be able to make it second lap?
What?
You going to be able to make it the second lap?
Yeah. Of course I am.
Thank you. Gotta keep it moving.
I mean, it's just my back.
Yeah.
I try not to think about it.
Well, you got too much stuff. You look like you're going on a 100-mile hike in the Andes.
Well, yeah. I was like, what if I...
Just all
I
you need...
Like, what if I get lost? I better have water.
Oh, this is a... This is like a Boy Scout ranch. There's many different ways to get out.
Yeah, this is nothing like Bandera or what's the other one?
J and J.
You can never go back to.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing of Bandera is worse than the first four here.
Yeah.
That high climb. No.
Fast, or
I just
want to
finish. I'll feel bad if I don't finish.
Oh, you're finished. Just gotta keep at it. It's a little bit muddy, but it's not too bad.
And in that back area, I don't know if you went through that back area by the water.
Yeah.
It's nothing but mud. I have this thick mud on my feet.
Yeah, last year that's the area I slipped and almost went off the cliff.
I had trouble getting up the cliff because it's all mud and slides.
Well, I tripped on rocks and it was a bit scary. I fell down and stopped right at the edge.
Sam's been updating me where he's at. I'm at 4.5 miles. I still. He's probably about a mile and a half ahead of me.
Well, I haven't seen one. I've been at this.
He started an hour before me.
I was at the main junction and I didn't see him. So.
Well, I haven't even been around here.
I think he went the right way. I missed him when I was running. I ran backwards on the course to try to catch Sammy, but I made a wrong turn. Because it's hard to follow backwards.
I called Sam this morning. I said, "They're pouring down rain." He goes, "Oh, that's the best part of it. I just want to see Sammy be in the pouring rain." He's so mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him in it.
Sammy!
Sammy!
That's him.
Cool.
Catch up with him. You have to go around that way. Okay. I'll see you later.
Hi, Sam!
Coming up on Sam Elkins here. What's going on, buddy?
What's up,
come. How you doing?
Good.
So you're finishing this lap, right? Or did you just start one?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of weird.
This is the way I ran in, because I ran in trying to catch up with you, but then I made a wrong turn.
Oh yeah?
I've been all over the course.
Yeah, it's a little strange. Because, like, I had a couple people pass me and they asked me, "Hey, which race are you running?" And I say, "The half marathon." And they're like, "Huh, Well, I passed you three times, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's a bit tricky, and they got the white signs and the yellow signs. And
then some of the yellow signs, because of the rain, they're white.
Yeah. So you've been drinking enough? So what's been your hydration and nutrition plan so far? You've been taking some gels or something?
Yeah, I had a gel earlier. I have a couple gels in my backpack. This was working out pretty good. Because I told myself, I said, thought about getting like beef jerky, but
yeah,
I'd rather just use that. But
that's fine. You just got to eat. You want to eat like 200-300 calories an hour, and right, make sure you take in some salt. Because that's what Debbie make a mistake. Every time she runs, I tell her alternate between water and Gatorade to get some salt.
Right, or take, I use these.
Oh yeah, that's perfect. Because what happens is if you drink too much water, it lowers your salt level too right much. So how are the ultra temps doing?
Pretty good.
I've got that same shoe.
Yeah.
Only thing I didn't like about mine is they squeak, and it sounds like yours are squeaking too.
Oh no, yeah.
When it gets wet or sweat, it squeaks.
Not only that, but if you wear these like just outside of running, uh-huh, and you're just wearing them, you hear that.
Yeah. I did a 69 miler last year in them, and it aggravated me the whole time.
Yeah.
And I've retired them to daily runs now.
Yeah.
But the previous temps didn't do that. I think they've corrected them now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just when they get wet or sweat, they start squeaking. But a good shoe though.
So are you doing the race, or are you just?
No, I'm just.
Just walking.
Sweeping. They call it the course sweeper. I'm just going out chasing people down.
Yeah.
Got lost a few times. I've probably done 4 miles already. Really? But I got lost at that figure eight intersection because I was doing it backwards and the signs confused me.
Yeah.
But I know this is the finish because this is the way I came in.
Yeah. And see,
so you're doing it right.
That's what's confusing me, is because one person said, oh, well, I've been following the double arrows, not the single ones.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's the same course.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing the same course.
Yeah.
The only one that's shorter is that little kid one.
Yeah.
And it's white signs and it cuts off.
Yeah. So how are you feeling now? Were you jogging in the beginning, or?
I just been moderate. Every time like I kind of get like tired from walking.
Yeah.
I'll just kind of like moderately jog and use a different muscle. Like this.
That's good, because it'll change your gait. It's not too bad. It's rained a little bit, but.
Oh God, it was horrible this morning.
Yeah, there was an accident on the road coming in, and I got delayed.
And it's not only that, but it's just like these shoes, they love mud.
Yeah.
I have like cakes, and my feet were just like so like weighted down, you know?
Yeah.
But when I crossed the finish line, it was weird, because I looked down at my watch, and I had only done 6 miles.
Yeah. So this is your second lap?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
You want some M&Ms?
No, I'm good.
But yeah, if you need any water, I have a little blue cooler.
Huh.
It says Health Texas on the side of it. Has a bunch of water bottles and.
Oh, I'm good. Old. I'm gonna finish this one up with you, and then I gotta go back home.
Yeah.
But I got lucky. I saw Debbie for a while, and we crossed paths with you. So. So how do you like it? You think you'll want to do some more?
Like, I'm cool with this type of temperature.
Yeah.
But I get a lot of, like, heat stress.
Yeah.
And dehydrated really quickly, so that's why I have to have these SOSs and stuff. But,
you're right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If I do, probably, like, a 25 max.
Yeah. Well, the winter runs are more fun.
Because yeah, definitely. Just because it's,
You don't get dehydrated very easy, right. And,
That's why I chose
it. It's also nice because when it gets colder, the snakes go away. Yeah.
Right. That's why I was telling my dad I wanted to go for even earlier start time, but he's like, no. The earliest you should do is 7:30. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they don't care. They just want people spaced out on the course.
Yeah, it's a beautiful course though. I like that little, that drop.
Yeah.
The water.
Yeah, it's not too rocky like a lot of Texas courses.
Right.
And it's a horse ranch.
Right.
But the nice thing is a lot of the other horse ranches, they put sand down for the horses, and this one doesn't do that, which is great.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than running in thick sand.
Yeah, I guess, but for me, the one thing that, like, when I was training, I kept on gaining weight.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, running more, and I don't know, I got big legs.
No, it's okay. The thing is, you want to lean down as much as you can, because the farther you go, the more you carry, the harder it is, you know. So
right.
When you're striking with like three times your body weight, so
right.
Well, this helps build up your endurance.
What helps me to my advantage is that I take long strides.
Yeah.
And so even though, like, I'm, to me, this is just walking, my dad says it's considered fast walk.
Yeah, we in the trail mic community, we call it power hiking.
Right.
Nobody likes to use the word walking, but the pace is slow enough. It really is hiking or walking.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I was coming around the first lap, and I was just by myself, and all of a sudden I heard scurrying, right?
Yeah.
And I smelt a skunk, and I was like, oh, shit. That's the last thing I want.
Yeah. I smell them all the time. And I was in one race last year that it was a mile and a half loop course where you had to go around a cone.
Yeah.
And it was about 6 in the morning, still dark. And me and another guy, we went up to the cone, and there was a skunk by the cone.
Dang.
And we just stood still, and it went away. They don't really want to bother you.
Right.
So I think if they spray you, it causes them a lot of problems too.
Kind of like a last resort.
Yeah.
And they do a little dance.
Yeah. One interesting thing about skunks is they're omnivores, so they eat meat and they eat plants.
Yeah.
So they're like a bottom feeder for everything. One of the few animals like that. But quite a few of them.
But yeah, but as far as the trail, there's only one part that I'm like, okay, they could have just done a little bit of a detour around this. It like goes super steep and then it's super high up, so you literally have to like slowly, like,
yeah,
angle yourself.
Well, they're like drainage ditches, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I like your hat.
I think so. Yeah.
So tell me, how do you do it? How do you do 100 miles?
You just
training.
Yeah, your body gets used to it. You're basically running slow. So I typically run
Day.
Well, every day I run at home from 9 to 10.5 minute miles. So when I run.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So when I run.
Well, when I start to jog, it falls off.
Yeah. So the thing is, what you want to run 1 to 2 minutes slower during a long race. So that's why it's so important to build up your strength and speed. So if you normally run 11 minute mile and you run a 13 minute mile for a really long time, because the farther you go, the more important the core strength is, and your body starts breaking down. People always think, well, your legs are really hurting and that's what causes your problems. No, it's actually my neck and my lower back that starts hurting. So that's why the core strength is so important. My feet will get swollen, but my legs will be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't run very fast, but.
Yeah, I mean, I start to feel, I guess, like let's say this is my ankle.
Yeah.
I feel it in like this muscle right here.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, the more miles you put on them, the body is very resilient. It's a It's a very, it's an incredible machine. It knows how to adapt.
Right.
Its only weakness is it can't prevent you from drinking or eating too much. But that's why a lot of people don't know, but you can actually, it's not possible to die of dehydration unless you're like in the desert and no one can help you. Right. The body will shut you down when you're dehydrated and take you down to a walk, which in ultras we call that bonking. And it can, even if you get water and stuff, it can take you 30 to 40 minutes to get out of it.
Right.
However, if you drink too much, take your salt down too low, you can kill yourself. So you can actually kill yourself by drinking too much, but not the other way.
Right.
So the body cannot control.
Yeah, and that was my biggest problem. I'll start to get bloated and low salt levels previously, and then I switched to this guy.
Yeah.
Perfect size. I just take small sips. Yeah. And then I have a 40 ounce that if I go on like a long walk or a run, I'll put that 40 ounce in my backpack and I'll hold that one.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's the key. So keep drinking, even when you think you don't need it.
Right.
Because when the body gets too low, it can take, like I said, 30 to even maybe 45 minutes to reset, because the body will shut you down because it's saying, oh, you're a dumbass, you don't drink, so
right.
I'm shutting you down.
Yeah, and it's funny though, because this SOS stuff, man, it works pretty good. I don't know what they have in it, but...
Yeah, it's probably got sodium and magnesium.
Yeah,
those
it
are
has that, but it, they say it has some sort of like something in it that helps like with absorption.
Uh-huh.
But it's weird. It almost like makes the water. I mean, it tastes like mango, right?
Yeah.
But it almost makes like the water taste like thick.
Huh.
Like it almost has like a film. I don't know how to explain it. It's weird. But.
Well, that's good. That's the right thing to do, because these supplements that like SOS and salt tabs and stuff, that's what they're giving you, the magnesium, zinc, and sodium.
Right.
It's real important for the body. And if you take those on a regular basis, you can go a really long ways. You're talking day, 2 days. But if you take them, if you take too much, it can also upset your stomach.
Right.
So it's got to be a balance. Same thing with eating. That's why they say 250 to 300 calories per hour. If you take in more than that, it's going to try to come out.
Right.
Because the body cannot digest it that fast. Also, when you eat too fast, just like when you eat at lunch, sometimes you'll feel tired.
Right.
The blood rushes to your stomach, and then it cannot work in your legs and stuff.
Right.
So it can shut you down.
Poor circulation.
Yeah.
That's why I take a beet supplement.
Yeah.
It's the best for me.
All right, let's jog in. It's the last quarter mile. We're doing good.
Yeah, I need to take a gel, but I don't have any water left. I'm going to get the water one.
Yeah, you're good. If you take a gel, it won't help you for 15 minutes.
Right. They gave me one. It was pretty good. Kind of a weird aftertaste. I got some new ones that I've never tried before called
Glucose. Yeah. Sales trails, they usually have the V fuel. It's not bad. But because of the Corona, they're not giving out much stuff.
Right.
So we see the Chaos Trails arches coming up. It's been interesting. I've been running 4 or 5 miles with a mask on. It does make a difference. All right, good job, Sammy.